This evening we come together in a church stripped bare of its decorations. Nothing left except a thorny cross and a cross draped in black. This day we come together to sit with Jesus' death. We come today to face his death full on, to not turn away, no matter how painful it is or how frightful the story may be. Jimmy just read for us the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. It's a story we've probably heard countless times, and it's possible that we have become a little numb to its power. If we really give ourselves over to this story and have heard it, really heard it, with our hearts open, our hearts cannot help but be broken. It's a terrible story. It is a story of betrayal, cruelty, and death. It is also a story of love. Jesus' love for the suffering of the world, and the love of the faithful women standing by the cross, his mother and the two Marys. And that moment where Jesus tells his mother, "Here is your son," and tells his disciple, "Here is your mother." We Christians have spent 2,000 years theologizing this moment, puzzling over the concepts of evil, suffering, and atonement, of grace and love. I don't know that we have gotten much closer to understanding the significance of what happened that day. Jesus' crucifixion may be a story that passes all understanding. We believe that God created the world and everything in it, including us, created in God's image, out of love. If that's the God we put our faith in, we may have an especially hard time reconciling this story with the loving God. If we take this story of Christ suffering unto death seriously, it points to the existence of evil in the world and the reality of the power of evil. And I believe that it also points to the source of evil in the world, because fear is the driving force in the passion story. We know that the religious authorities were afraid of Jesus, and at least from the time he overturned the tables in the temple, had been plotting to kill him. In a garden across the Kidron Valley, the wheels were set in motion. Judas brings with him a detachment of soldiers and police with lanterns and torches and weapons. A posse of heavily armed strongmen to arrest one dangerous pacifist. Jesus' message, peace and love of neighbors, even love of enemies, was a threat to those who lived by the sword. We see this when Jesus calmly asks, "Who are you looking for?" And then says, "I am he." They stepped back and fell to the ground out of fear, out of astonishment at Jesus' acceptance of his fate. Calm in the face of power is baffling to those most heavily armed. It knocked them off their feet. And yet calm in the face of fear did not save Jesus from death. Throughout today's story and the story leading up to it, Jesus always speaks the truth calmly to the insecure people in power. And truth only makes them more afraid, more desperate, and more cruel. Jesus tells us that the truth will set us free. Today's story tells us not always, at least not in the way we might think of being set free. The truth got Jesus killed. Today we gather to remember Jesus' death. The story is almost too much to bear, of how he was betrayed because Peter and the disciples were afraid, how he was condemned because the religious authorities were afraid and convinced Pilate that his power too was threatened and that he should be very afraid. It's the story of how Jesus was mocked and tortured and nailed to a cross by scared people who were only doing their jobs. I suppose there are many different ways one can respond to this terrible story, as there are listeners with ears to hear. I'm not about to tell you the right way to respond to the ugliness of the murder of Jesus at the hands of the fearful, as if there were a right way to respond. How you respond is right for you. I'd like to suggest that whatever this story brings up in you, just sit with it and do not turn away from now until Easter morning. It's a truism among atheists, especially the most vocal among them, that religion in general, but especially Christianity, is nothing more or less than an elaborate story embedded in an even more elaborate system created to make us feel better about the knowledge that we carry with us and yet can barely stand to face. The knowledge that death is very real, and that just as Jesus died that day on the cross, one day we are going to die. I believe that religion can become that, an easier, softer way, if we are not careful. It can become a form of denial, but not today. To deny the reality of death is to deny the reality of the totality of life in the world, because all life contains death. That's the way of creation, and that's the way of the cross. To deny the reality of all the pain and suffering that comes with this life, and ironically, the pain that comes to lives lived in love, is to deny our honest experience. We humans are the only beings in God's creation who fear death, because we have a sense of the past, a vision of the future, and have been given the gift of self-reflection. We know that we and everyone we love will someday die. And that knowledge can cause us to be afraid. There is so much to lose. Here we are at the end of the season of Lent, which began on Ash Wednesday, when we were reminded that we come from elemental dust and that we will return to dust when our time on earth is up. Hopefully none of us here in this church today will have to go through anything like the horrific death that Jesus had to experience. But we all have our own deaths, and we will all mourn the deaths of the ones that we love. Part of me wants to say, "There, there, dear hearts. Everything is going to be okay." And ultimately it will. That's the rest of the story. But that is not today's story. Today's story ends with Jesus saying, "I am thirsty." and then it is finished. Then he bowed his head, gave up his spirit. Then his body was pierced, and he was taken down from the cross. And his dead body was wrapped with spices and linen cloths and laid in a tomb in yet another garden. And the rest was silence.